Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Press Start Podcast, the podcast where we talk about video games, our lives, culture, and everything else in the Terra Dome of our experiences. First of all, I'd like to introduce myself. My name is Noah Cote, and to my left, I have Miss
Trish Navidad.
And to my right, I have
Maddie Grant.
And in the booth, we got Mr.
Jackson McGillivray. We should kind of talk about ourselves a little bit more because this is the first episode of the Press Start Podcast, so I think we should just give a little bit of background on where our video game experience has come from. So, what's your favorite game? What's your favorite game? And you gotta like fight for it. You gotta say like what are the best aspects of that game and why is it your favorite game?
Okay, I will start.
Do it.
So yeah, this is Maddie speaking.
Hi, Maddie.
Hey. So my video game passion, I guess. I don't know. Just like my like for video games came from probably my cousins and my brother. He was always big into video games. Mm-hmm. And really, GameCube was where it all happened. Like, I remember that Christmas morning when we opened that bang. GameCube, and it was the best Christmas morning ever. Anyways, my favorite video game is probably The Sims. The Sims 2, specifically. Like, I grew up on a farm and we did not have a good computer, and I would sit there and wait for it to load for literally 2 hours. One time I waited, but I didn't care. I just wanted to play Sims.
That's
and
true love.
Yeah, yes, and I don't know. I just like The Sims. I just really like those kind of games, like the
World building.
Yeah, kind of. I love building houses and like starting a little family. Mm-hmm. And
yes.
And then I remember I'd always feel like pretty like bad whenever I would make The Sims like woohoo, because like my parents would be in the next room. I'd be like, oh. Like, I thought Sims 2 was a very good jump from the original Sims. I love every version of Sims. Like, I have good memories with all of them, but The Sims 2 was just like.
Did you ever make Sims that were like actual people that you knew and like make them hook up and stuff?
Because
I knew like that, my neighbors used to do that. They would like just get everybody from my school and then like put them in the couples that they wanted them to be in, and
weird.
That's disturbing.
Yeah, I know. It's so weird. I didn't know if that was normal or not.
I mean, I guess I would definitely, just by chance, I would probably name like the guy like
of a crush.
The crush of the month, like
Chad Johnson.
I never liked a Chad. Come on, Noah.
That's what they all
say. Whoa, sorry, all the Chads out there.
Yeah.
No, there's probably like a Tyler.
Shout out to Tyler.
I don't know. There's like 5 Tylers in my class, so I don't even know. Anyways, I've talked for a while, so.
Did you ever do couch co-op? You said you had a GameCube, right?
Oh.
So did you ever play Sims? One of the big things I did was The Sims with a buddy. That stuff's really fun.
Actually, no, I would get annoyed. Like, no, I didn't like people sitting with me. I didn't like. I remember I'd like watch my sister play Sims, and I'd be like, "No, you're doing it wrong." Like, I would like, because I had my own way of doing things. I didn't like playing with other people.
That's interesting. Growing up on something like that and having the ability to create the world like that, and so it's like inherently you don't want other people to be able to like shape that world. That's my world.
Yeah, or like she'd just be like making her Sims like watch TV, and I'm like, they have to go to the bathroom. Like, make her go to the bathroom. Look at her bladder level. Come on. I don't know. Yeah, that just bugged me. But I really liked like. Obviously, Mario Kart, Double Dash. Mm. I love playing that with my cousins. Like,
big time.
Was the best. And Super Smash Bros. Mm-hmm. And then later on, like, Guitar Hero, stuff like that. Yeah.
Can I go first? So, okay. Hey, I'm Trish.
Hi, Trish.
Hey, nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so my video game experience is kind of limited, but I've had like a taste of video games here and there throughout my whole life.
She's where the money comes from, that's what she said.
So my first probably Nintendo 3DS is what I had when I was younger.
Oh, yeah.
But my sister lost that at a swimming pool. I don't know why she took it to a field trip, but yeah. So the first game I had a taste there was Cooking Mama.
Yeah.
It's my jam.
Good stuff.
I've never played that before.
It's fine. If you make a mistake, Mama gets mad. Like, flames come out of her eyes.
Mama gets mad.
And then later on in my life, I got to experience that Super Mario Brothers. So
that's, Super Mario!
Yeah, oh my gosh. That's, like, my favorite game of all time. Princess Peach, Mario, Luigi, you name it, I can name all those characters.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. All three.
Yeah. All three. And more. There's more. And yeah. So yeah, here and there. And I also like playing mobile video games. So whatever catches my eye. It's mostly story-bound, like The Sims and other stuff like that. So yeah.
Trish, have you seen those videos on YouTube where it's somebody, he gets like the Cooking Mama game and he puts it side by side where he actually makes the food, but he does it like to the, like he'll like stir something as long as Cooking Mama like makes him stir it. So like by the end of it, his like dish is looks completely different than what it looks like in Cooking Mama. It's so funny.
Go search that up later.
It's really funny. You'll laugh.
All right.
Noah?
Yeah, so I have a bit of a problem because I can't pick out a specific game.
Pick a franchise, then. Say.
Dude, I can't pick a franchise because there's so many different aspects to it. Like, if I was a kid, it was things like Call of Duty 4 and Halo 2 and 3 were the ones that, like, and now I feel like a turncoat because I'm going to say these are the ones that I played, like, solely for the multi. Okay, not Halo. Obviously, Halo was sitting side by side with a friend and playing, you know, me and my friends would go down to the local 7-Eleven, grab a couple of soda pops, and we'd come back to the place, and we play all night long, you know, and that's that was, like, my childhood, was, like, playing through that Halo 2 campaign. Ladies love plated armor. and so now it's sort of taken a turn around and around and around, and I've gone through different games like Titanfall and The Witcher 3 and Grand Theft Auto. Grand Theft Auto 4 campaign was like a really, really big one for me. Like that really good. Showed me what video games can do and what stories can be. Man, like, oh my goodness, the storytelling in Grand Theft Auto 4. Niko Bellic is my guy. And so now it's turned into, you know, being an adult with, well, being classified as an adult and having responsibilities and stuff like that. It's really devolved into being just a multiplayer guy. So for the last, like, probably 5-6 months, all I've been playing is Ghost Recon Wildlands with a friend of mine, and it's not a great game. It's not a very good game. Okay, the AI is crap. The story is just your average, like, Contra Reagan era, sending militants into the cartel to, you know, expedite them and that kind of junk. And, you know, it's not a great game, but it's perfectly designed to be able to be playing with friends, you know? And so, like, I found that for me, it's anything that I can, like, slap in after a long, hard day and be able to, like, just jump right into and get brainless with a friend or two, you know? That's the big thing for me right now.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's so hard. I think it's... There's so many games that I've played.
Like, oh, I'm an Xbox boy, by the way. That's okay.
But I mostly grew up playing Nintendo consoles. My folks were really strict with the video games, so they wouldn't let me play anything that was rated mature. So Nintendo. That's why I was a Nintendo boy, because there were no matures on there.
That's
but,
true. Yeah.
So you I grew up with watch. A lot of that. I grew up with a lot of Zelda. I grew up with. I played so many different games because back in the day you could do this thing where you could it's called renting games.
Right.
So you could go down to your little Rogers Video and you could just look at the shelf.
You weren't a Blockbuster boy?
Or a Blockbuster. I was Blockbuster and then I switched because Rogers had a bigger selection in my area.
Did you guys ever rent games?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, just movies.
Well, you were a farm girl, so.
Yeah, I had to drive. 15 minutes.
Uphill both ways. Where'd you rent games from, Trish?
I think it was Blockbuster.
Blockbuster. Yeah. But yeah, I'd just see a game that looked really cool from the cover, and then I'd go home and play it. And I tried so many weird games that I love. I think the one game, like, if I could go back to a time and just be stuck in that time period to play that game forever, it would be Halo 3.
Yeah, man.
I think that was, like, Halo 2 is fantastic. Halo 2 was my introduction to the
franchise.
Such
a good story, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, like, it's so close. Like, they're so close. To being my top favorite one. But I think Halo 3, I just loved the community at the time. There was just the amount of creation that people could do, like, the with the custom games. The introduction of Forge mode, where you could create your own maps and so people could create their own maps and game types, so people would get so creative and just make the weirdest, wackiest games. And there was like that casual side, but there was also that competitive side, and that was kind of, I know Halo 2 started the whole Xbox Live thing. It was kind of like one of the first big games to get like to get consoles, people playing online with each other. But I feel like Halo 3 kind of solidified that, and it was just a crazy community. And on top of that, it had a fantastic story, and I think that the game still holds up, like, looks wise. The art style was just a perfect choice. Still looks fantastic. Doesn't look like an old game.
I don't know, man. Combat Evolved really boosted that multiplayer for me. Like, I remember the biggest thing, that was the first multiplayer game I ever played online, and the biggest thing for me was, like I was saying before, my dad showed me how to play that stuff, and he taught me that when you kill somebody in Halo Combat Evolved in multiplayer, the names pop up, so it says, like, this name, you know, fragged or dominated or whatever, this other name, right? So he would make, like, funny names to, like, you know, just for jokes. So, like, my name was always Cotton Balls. So, like, you know, Roger 461 was fragged by Cotton Balls. And when I was a kid, I thought that was the funniest thing to me. That it's like, oh, because Cotton Balls can't kill you, right?
Yeah.
Those are great. I forgot to shout out to Mario Party as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's something I spent a lot of time playing when I was little. Mario Party 4 specifically is the best. I've been trying to find it on Kijiji or like PNP forever, and no one has it, or no one's willing to sell it, I guess.
Like OG Mario Party, like the first one?
Mario Party 4 is my favorite.
Oh, okay. Why 4? Is that just the one that you got first and like got super into it?
Kind of, and to me, like the mini games in it are the best. Okay. And it, like, Mario Party 4 was before Mario Party got all like, oh, we're going to try something new and do something different. Like, it was just like
using a microphone.
Yes.
Oh, do you remember that?
Don't.
That was Mario Party 6 for me.
Yeah.
I hated that one.
I think Mario Party 5 was my favorite because that was the last one.
That was a good one, too.
But yeah.
Yeah, it was just like the last nice little run of Mario Party before it got all weird.
Like weird, like having 4 kids in front of your television, like shouting into a fake microphone. Yeah.
No kidding. Oh, God.
Mario Party, it's like nowadays, it's turned into my drinking game. Oh, that's always fun.
Is that a cry for help?
No. It's like whenever it's my friends. Truth.
That's why he said it.
Yeah. It's like my friends and I, we were never like huge partiers and stuff. So whenever we'd have like a little party, it'd be like Mario Party, and then that would be the drinking game. Or like WarioWare Smooth Moves. Ever played that on Wii?
I have not played that.
Oh, that is that's so fun. That was one of the best Wii games, I think.
Sounds like quite the party.
Yeah. it was fantastic. And have you guys ever heard of the Mario Kart drinking game?
No.
What? No.
I've heard of it, but
it's like drunk driving. So basically you have to
you start a
race and you have to finish your beer before you finish the race, but you can't be drinking and driving at the same time. So if you want to drink it, you have to stop and you have to start drinking it. So and then if you get to the end and whoever hasn't done it has to take like a shot or something.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's really fun.
We don't
condone
this.
Yeah,
drink responsibly and never drink and drive in real life.
Yeah. Those games are awesome.
Video games, it's fine.
Yeah. Video games, totally fine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Encouraged, actually. According to Jackson.
Yeah.
Well,
scofflaw.
God.
So the other week, me and Jackson caught up with Winnipeg filmmaker Lausanne Pageot, who is best known for her film Indie Game the Movie. It came out in 2012. It was a Sundance Film Festival winner. It scored 93% on Rotten Tomatoes. And since then, she's been approached to do similar projects, such as a short documentary for the Game Awards in Los Angeles. So here's a short clip of that interview.
After the film, our business has been a lot based on the fact that games and tech companies sort of come to us and they're like, oh, you do stuff about people in games and tech and you sort of make them human. Come do something for us. So we've worked with different brands over the past few years, like Ubisoft and Valve. And one of the other brands that reached out to us was the Game Awards. And they, you know, said they wanted to give an award to a woman in the game industry. And actually at the time when they approached me, they're like, we're considering giving it to Carol Shaw. And we don't know much about her. Nobody knows much about women in early video games.
Yeah.
Can you help us figure it out? And so we were approached probably end of September. And so part of the making of that piece was trying to figure out and piece together who was important in video games in the 70s in terms of women. What did they do? And was this award that they wanted to give her, was she actually worthy of the award? Or are they just giving an award to a woman just because they want to give the award to a woman?
Right.
And in the end, through the process of discovery and research and talking to like dozens of people, she was a big deal.
Okay.
And that's how like the research went. And then in working with Carol, it was a really interesting experience to try to create a documentary about a person who thinks that their life is largely unremarkable. And so that's a tricky storytelling thing, but in the end, I think we captured her essence, and she was really happy after she saw it. She, we took her to the after party at the Game Awards in LA, and she walked around, and people wanted pictures and selfies with her, and it was this big sort of validating moment for her that all of her efforts years ago now, you know, are recognized.
We're going to talk a little bit about the death of single player.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Death of single player. It's kind of been a hot topic in the gaming community for the last probably 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, you know, some people would say longer. But, is it a thing that you think is happening? Is it real? I mean, first of all, I guess we should get our opinions going on.
We should probably talk about, what we mean by death of single player.
Yeah, okay. So I guess basically it just has to do with people are sort of turning into a multiplayer-focused gaming sort of culture, right? Like, you know, every game has to have some sort of multiplayer component to it. And, you know, studios and developers are forgoing the single player aspect of games and they're pushing them out. And it's largely a money-based concept, right?
It seems as if a lot of resources are going more into the multiplayer side of things than linear-driven, story-based experiences for a single player. So it just seems like, the culture is kind of more revolving around multiplayer experiences. And, I don't know. A lot of people aren't super happy about it.
I don't think it's a terrible thing.
How do you
mean? I enjoy single player games, but it might help with the whole stereotype of, you know, people who play video games just play by themselves and
isolation.
Are antisocial.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it could be a good thing.
Yeah, and I went to a tournament yesterday for Super Smash Bros. In Manitoba. And a lot of them were saying that they enjoyed that game because it's multiplayer. So and that there was doubles and singles, but they enjoyed playing with other people more than they did by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's interesting because there's definitely games that are being pushed out like Smash Brothers or the other type of arena style games, like action games, especially fighting games, are definitely being created with the idea of a multiplayer experience in mind. But those are ones that are solely multiplayer, right? Like you're not, I don't know anybody that's going to play Smash Bros. By themselves.
Yeah. No.
So I think for social aspects of gaming, absolutely, that's totally valuable. But if you look at a game like Titanfall or, you know, the countless number of games that are being pushed out and Titanfall 1, released back in the day for the Xbox.
There was no campaign.
There was no campaign, right? And when it came out, Respawn, a division of EA after EA bought them, right? And then basically the game was a bit of a sleeper, but still a lot of copies sold. But it's always being pushed out. It's marketed as a sort of spacey type Call of Duty or Battlefield first-person shooter. Mm-hmm. And it's not being marketed proper. Well, it wasn't being marketed properly back in the day, and it was being released in between two blockbuster games. And so then everybody jumped on it that were Titanfall fans. Everybody jumped on it as a really great alternative to games like Call of Duty and Battlefield. And, there was a lot of backlash. I was one of those people that jumped on it, by the way. There was a lot of backlash in the community about not having a good single-player campaign.
Well, even right now, there's so many games that are just coming out of left field that are huge hits that are only multiplayer experiences, like Overwatch.
Right.
It's a huge game. And there's, bits of story kind of, sewn in the game, but it's not blatant. There's no campaign. You don't get, that right in your face story. It's just kind of like they have like little hints and nods to like there's right. a story here, but we're not really going to tell you it. And then you have all the other games like PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds or yeah. Fortnite, which are just huge multiplayer experiences. And it's those games do exceedingly well. But I personally think that the death of single player, I don't think that there is a death of single player. I think that single player games are actually in kind of like a, what's the word? They're coming back. Like they're in full force.
A
like,
resurgence.
Yeah. Like even last year, I can name 10 right now. I got a list right here that came out last year that are top games. We got Assassin's Creed Origins. Right. We've got Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Super Mario Odyssey. Horizon Zero Dawn. Resident Evil 7 Biohazard, Wolfenstein 2. Let's see, what else we got here? We got a lot.
Okay, but let me stop you right at the first game on your list. Okay. And I think this is the big problem when people talk about the death of single player, is it's not necessarily just, like Trish mentioned before, there's multiplayer games and there's a space for them, and that's great. But my big problem with single player games now is that it's turning into cash grab. Okay?
Yeah.
So you have a game like Assassin's Creed Origins, and it's like, you could put, you know, 40, 50, 60 hours into that game in the single player. There is no multiplayer aspect of it. That's fine. I've been a huge Assassin's Creed fan since the beginning of the franchise. Played every single one. And I really like Unity. Fight me. So the problem with Assassin's Creed Origins is that because it's a Ubisoft game, and this isn't just exclusive to Ubisoft, but because it's a Ubisoft game, they've inserted all these little microtransactions into it. Okay? So for weapons, for clothes, for skins, for any item that you can imagine, you can buy like Ubisoft points or whatever for real money. And it's taking the fun out of people who want to play a game for the campaign, for the people who want like challenges and stuff. It's like, you don't have to anymore because you can just spend money. And it's the same issue with something like Grand Theft Auto 5 that we have now. And I mean, especially like, you know, we can get into GTA Online later on, but it's the same issue like, what is the incentive for players to play a regular campaign now when you can just spend a little bit of cash, or in most cases, a lot of cash? Like we have GTA making millions and millions of dollars off of microtransactions. What's the incentive now to actually play through the campaign?
Well, I think it's mostly the story-driven games. So like Assassin's, like the big open world games, there are games that have really good story that have big open worlds. But I think what resonates with a lot of people the most, that would people who would identify as single player fans mostly, are like the linear experiences, the ones where the story is really crafted and everything is there for a reason. It's not just like set up so that the player can kind of create their own experience, but it's really like you're almost in a movie, right? There were games. There was a was it Hellblade? Hellblade came out. I think it was 2016. It was called like a, what was it? It was like a double A, I think. It was like a fake triple A game. It was made by a smaller studio. It was like, they didn't have a huge publisher behind it, but it was, it was basically a triple A game, and it had, the story was really cool. Basically the protagonist, suffers from like, it's almost like schizophrenia, and they put you in her shoes and you actually experience like weird voices talking to you in the game. And it's all around audio design, and you basically kind of have to fight your demons almost. And it was really, really well received. It won a lot of awards. I don't know. It's just like those kind of games, those experiences where you're by yourself in a world and you don't have to like that don't have microtransactions like that. They've been getting a lot of spotlight lately. And I think that's a reason, that's evidence to show that they're not dying. Like, Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild doesn't have microtransactions in it. It's got some DLC that you can download, but the bulk of the game is just comes packaged with the game. It's not like you don't have to buy anything extra, and it won Game of the Year in so many different places. Got 10 out of 10s like across the board. Same with Super Mario Odyssey. It's the same thing.
I don't think Nintendo's really like the best thing to equate things to, right?
That's true.
Like, Nintendo's been doing their own thing since the beginning of time. Exactly. And so to look at them for trends in gaming is like, it's a little irresponsible of you, to be honest, Jackson.
The Sims has even.
Let's talk about The Sims.
Let's talk about Sims. The Sims has started to do the whole cash grab aspect.
Yeah.
Which is bullshit, because if you've been playing Sims from the beginning like me, they teach you bad habits of just cheat codes to get your money.
Right.
Motherlode, Rosebud. for example.
She knows them by heart.
Yes, and Motherlode, L-O-D-E. And yeah, so now it's like Sims 3. I haven't played Sims 4 yet, but with Sims 3, it was like to get a certain hairstyle, you have to pay money for it. Mm-hmm. To get a certain outfit, you have to pay money for it. And I never did that, which is surprising because I make my Sims look good. But yeah, so that's just another example of a single player game that is going down that route, and I don't really like that.
So in The Sims now, is there a way to get, like, is the things that you can spend money on just cosmetic things? Like, it has nothing to do with actual gameplay? Or is there actual items that are going to help you?
It's like hairstyles, clothing, but it's also, like, certain towns that you can play in. Like, you know how there's, like, you can play in, there's, like, Riverview and Sunset Valley like that. But, and then now it's like, oh, this location's awesome, but you have to pay money if you want to play in this location. And it's just like,
ugh. That's also EA, though.
Yeah.
EA is very notorious for microtransactions and charging extra for.
And it sort of blurs the line between what is a microtransaction and what is like paid downloadable content, right? Like, what is DLC?
I think that if you're paying $70 or $80 for a game, you should get everything that's coming with it. Unless it's like a huge expansion that's almost like another game.
Yeah.
Like The Witcher 3.
Perfect example.
Came out with a DLC that was called Blood and Wine, I think it was. And it was basically like an entire new game.
Absolutely.
That came with it. And I think that's the way to do DLC, not through like loot boxes and just ways to like trickle out your money. But in the grand scheme of things, you're spending tons of, like, a lot of money.
Absolutely.
I should have a T4 slip for all the money I've spent on Sims games. Oh, like, so much of my money has gone towards that
The Sims
franchise. Like, no, I ain't dishing out more money to play in a new city. Like,
looking on Steam. It's, like, $30 for The Sims 3 right now.
Wow.
And then every downloadable thing is like $20 on top of that, and there's like 1,000 downloadable things, and it comes out to about $300 in total if you want all the content for The Sims 3.
I actually saw it was like, was it Train Simulator? Like, have you guys heard of those simulator games, like farming simulator?
Man, I need somebody to explain those simulators.
There was
They're fun.
Why? I think Train Simulator, it was like the combined, if you get all the DLC, like completely, like everything, it's like $7,000. It's insane.
That's unbelievable.
That's like the largest, whatever. But kind of going back to, you were saying Nintendo's not a good example, but this upcoming year we have a ton of games coming out that are single player experiences. Like we've got Kingdom Hearts 3, which is a huge anticipated, like I'm looking forward to Kingdom Hearts 3. We got Spider-Man, the new Spider-Man from Insomniac. I think it's Insomniac.
That's a PlayStation exclusive, right?
Yes. I think it's Insomniac. Yeah, Insomniac. The people who made Spyro and Sunset Overdrive, and we've got God of War 4. What else we got here? We got Detroit Become Human. That one's lots of people looking forward to that. There's a lot of games. I don't think it's dying. That's just my opinion.
But aren't you scared? Okay, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
Were you a fan of the original?
Oh, I loved the original.
Okay.
Well, Red Dead Redemption. It's not the original, but...
No.
Yeah.
But we're not going back to Xbox original, okay?
Okay.
So aren't you, like... Don't you look at something like Grand Theft Auto Online and say, oh, man, this new Red Dead Redemption 2 game is going to be so fun when I'm paying $5,000 to get a new horse skin and being, like, shoehorned into playing with other players?
Yeah, but it's... That's an option. Like, you don't have to.
How do you know that?
Because, well, I mean, we don't know that yet.
No.
But Grand Theft Auto 5, that was an option. You didn't have to go online.
Sure.
It had a huge story into it, like,
and,
built into it, and a huge world.
Okay, wait. So how many single player DLCs were released for Grand Theft Auto 5?
I have no idea.
You don't? You don't know?
I have no idea. I stopped playing it.
Okay. The answer is zero. Okay. After they promised.
Oh,
they
single
promised
player.
Me, yes. They promised me that I would get some single player DLC for Grand Theft Auto 5.
Yeah.
They promised me that. Do you know what I got?
Wait.
Race cars online. Race cars, rocket cars, like tanks and stuff.
Hot Wheels.
Just griefing people online. It's nonsense. And now, I replayed Red Dead Redemption when it came on backwards compatibility. I played that over the summer, and I was so fed up with all the Call of Duty online stuff and the Battlefield stuff, and I'd just gotten so blown out over all that stuff, and so I loaded up that baby boy on my Xbox One with the backwards compatibility, not sponsored, and I like I dedicated like a solid week of just being a vegetable and playing that game. I beat the whole campaign. Good. It's so good, and so and you know how much I paid paid to win that game? I didn't pay anything to win that game. Nothing. And so that's just what I'm concerned about is like now, and then you go and you play Grand Theft Auto 5, and you know, once you beat the campaign there, you got nothing to do left except go online and get blown up by the kid who stole his parents' credit card and paid $50 to buy a Shark Tank, whatever, gift card and bought
a
tank.
Is that your brother, Patricia?
Probably.
Is that your brother? Yeah. Did your brother do that to me? He's blowing me up online. So now I'm like, and I'm trying to anticipate this new game that's going to come out. I want to be a cowboy and I want to shoot my guns and I want to have fun with it. But like, I just can't. They made millions of dollars a year in 2016 alone. They made millions of dollars over the shark cards and the just in-game money and all this stupid stuff. And they completely forgot about any sort of single player DLC. They completely forgot about their main campaign, and now people are like, "Oh yeah, well at least they're not phoning in the online DLC." And like, I don't care about that. I wanted to play more Grand Theft Auto, and so now telling me that you can't like anticipate a negative outcome for Red Dead Redemption 2 is ridiculous, dude. Like they're a company, and game creators are turning into these money-making machines that only care about making the moolah, the guap, right? And so I can't rest easy if you're going to tell me that Red Dead Redemption 2 is not going to have some shoehorned-in microtransaction crap.
They're definitely going to try and create like a large online world. I think that they're going to try and bring the Grand Theft Auto Online experience to Red Dead Redemption 2 in some form, but I don't think that that's going to impact the story at all, because Rockstar is known for telling good stories too, especially with Red Dead. That story is held high in Rockstar fans' minds. But I think that the issue with the death of single player is that multiplayer hinders the story, and a lot of resources go to multiplayer instead of single player, and that's the issue. Not really that they're focusing on multiplayer after the fact, but because multiplayer is the thing that keeps people coming back. That's why it's in there. It's an incentive for people to keep playing their game after they've finished the single player. But I think, like, you look at games like Star Wars Battlefront 2, like the recent one.
Who looked at that?
What?
Who looked at that?
We will look at that.
Okay. Do we have to? Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
Okay. And you still want to look at it?
I don't really want to look at it, but like, that was a response to, like, they put a single player in that game as a response to the backlash from the first one coming out with no single player. Like, I think that speaks volumes. And even though that single player in the second one was apparently garbage.
Yeah.
But
and you still got to pay $50 to play as Han Solo.
it's kind of a train.
There's a right way to do that, and it's called Titanfall 2.
Oh, it is. That is the right way to do that. But that's a good example too, because like, that game had a fantastic single player. It was a great game. It mechanics was. Were perfect, and I think that the multiplayer just kind of pushed. Like, they had the single player, but it also had the fantastic multiplayer, and I don't think that hindered it. Nothing hindered each other. It was just all a good experience, and they built a community around that. And the DLC that came out wasn't anything like you had to get it to win. It wasn't like pay to win. It was just cosmetics, and I think that's what you should be doing if you're gonna have a multiplayer. Shouldn't shoehorn in a multiplayer. You should just, if you're gonna have a multiplayer, you should focus as much time on the single player as the multiplayer. I think that's the way to do it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I remember a time, a much simpler time, when with single player games, like, it'd be me, my brother, sister, and cousins. We would all gather around the one person playing the single player video game, and it was an experience, like, something as simple and you might say mundane as Animal Crossing. Like, we would like be on our toes watching someone like fishing, and we'd see you'd see one of those big giant fish, you know it's something good, or a tire.
And it's like a good way to test out if you want to play the game just by watching somebody else.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But yeah, like we would all gather around that person, and that person would either be a hero at the end of the day, or we would be cursing at them all night for not catching that fish.
And there's nothing mundane about that. You're going to save your family.
I know. I love that game. And same, like I remember King Kong for GameCube.
That's my jam.
King Kong game for GameCube?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, and it was so good.
Awesome. Tell me more about it.
I would like, that was how me and my brother bonded from like 2006 to 8. Like, I would just watch him play King Kong and it was awesome. Like, I wasn't even playing. I was just watching, but I still had the best time.
Yeah.
That game terrified me.
That's not that garbage, like, there was one for the Xbox 360 where I just remember the first little while was like you were going through like a forest and like it was based off the Jack Black movie.
Yeah, that's what this is. Except the GameCube one is highly regarded. Like it's known as like a good port from a movie. Okay. But
very good.
It was like a first person shooter for a little bit of it. And like at some points you actually have to like use spears and throw them at raptors and like they're just cornering you and little it's terrifying. And then like the second half I think you play as like you actually play as King Kong.
Okay, well I'm definitely judging a book by its cover then, because I never got that far that you could throw spears at raptors.
That's the part that I remember. It was just being stuck in this little like cubby and like just raptors all around me, and I only had like a spear and I was it was so scary. But that was when I was a child, so.
Yeah, and I don't think without the single player, I don't think video games would be video games without that. I mean, it's like, okay, they should probably more of a focus now on multiplayer, just because that's where probably the business is right now.
Right.
But single player without that, I mean, what is video games without that?
I think.
Well, ask PUBG Man over here.
Yeah. those games just, their communities just drive them. Like, Overwatch has been one of the most talked about games since it came out. I think it was 2015. And it, like, if you're competitive enough, then it can sustain your interest, you know,
but what innovation does that lead to, you know, like what the market is oversaturated with like crap, either arena battle games like that or games like Overwatch and, you know, the 20 other clones of it with different types of characters and skins on them.
Like, well, I mean, it kind of does lead to innovation because you need, if it's just the same thing over and over again, then people get bored. So that led to things like PUBG. That's basically an entirely new genre that just popped up in like the last year. Like PUBG created this battle royale style format. It's kind of like the Hunger Games. And then immediately after, Fortnite literally, like they copied them. They copied them. And now they're more successful than PUBG. Like they have more players than PUBG now. So it's kind of created this thing. And there's been talks that other games are going to start including this battle royale mode. Like Call of Duty is apparently, there's rumors that the next Call of Duty is going to.
I would be devastated.
I know, me too. It just wouldn't work.
I'm so bad at Call of Duty. I don't do well in games like that.
No,
too much
either.
Pressure.
Yep.
Which one do you play?
I don't know. It was one my brother had for Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sorry. Not too sure.
You know what I think? I think the talk shouldn't be the death of single player. I think the talk should be the death of couch co-op or couch split screen.
Oh. Mm. Yeah, because now it's much more like online playing. Yeah, I know what you mean. I still play Mario Kart.
My go-to game.
So much I play Mario Kart. Yeah. But yeah, I think you're onto something, Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Well, Nintendo, like they've consistently put out games that are, They want people to interact with each other, and they also are very hesitant to go online because they're very much associated with, they have a fan base that is composed of children, so like they don't want children playing with creepy adults basically. they don't want their brand associated with that.
No.
That's a very polite way of saying that. They don't know how to make online.
They don't. It's true.
Have you
it's
played the
completely
Wii?
True. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're playing it safe.
So they have kind of stuck to the couch co-op format. But I think other games, excluding indies, because there's a lot of good indie games that are couch co-op. But the AAA developers seem to have like strayed away from that.
Mm-hmm.
like my main example is like I grew up playing Halo. Halo is like my gem.
Word,
you know?
Preach.
But the thing I loved about it was that four players could play at once. You could be in the same room, and you could go online too with four players in the same room.
Yep.
And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. But with Halo 5 that came out in, was it 2015 again? Yeah.
Sure.
So. Let's just say that. So Halo 5 came out.
We've done our research, folks.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And they got rid of split screen in Halo, and they said that they got rid of it so that they could keep a constant 60 frames per second, 1080p experience. And there was huge backlash.
Yeah, you know, keeping up with what they're known for.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but I don't pay attention to that. Like, yeah. Oh,
what's the frames per second?
Oh, no, not this game. Yeah. I'm staying away from it.
They're trying to like boast the power of the new Xbox, saying that it can do this, but there was huge backlash because every Halo game has had split screen since and or before that. But now, like, they just said it wasn't possible. And now they're saying that every consecutive Halo game, every Halo game coming out from now on is going to have split screen. They're
going
to
going back.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so cool. Listening to the fans.
Yeah. Smart business choice.
Yeah.
Take note, Snapchat.
Shots fired.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I personally
is
love.
Is it still going to be 343?
Yeah. 343 is still doing all the Halo games. Okay. They also did say that every Halo game would come out on Xbox and PC now from now on, so.
Cross-platform synergy.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Xbox Play Anywhere.
Yeah, man. Dude, Halo 2, sitting on the couch when I was a wee lad. I mean, even going back to Combat Evolved, like, I remember my dad had that on his laptop, and, like, whenever he'd get home from work, I'd be like, Dad, are you going to play Halo tonight? And I'd sit beside him while he played it on his laptop, and he'd show me, you know, the ins and outs of killing grunts and throwing sticky grenades and that kind of stuff. And it was just, like, great to be able to sit in front of a screen and, you know, just engage, right? Like, he was just showing me. Yeah, he was just showing me how to be a better man.
That's wild to me. My dad was born in 1955, and it shows. Like, he would never.
Not a good gamer.
I tried to show him Guitar Hero one time because he really enjoys guitar. So I was like, okay, this is the video game for my father. And he did not enjoy, like, he didn't understand it. Like, you know when you, like, you're playing and when you hit the right note, the little flame pops up?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's just standing there, he's like, where are the flames? Where are the flames? I was like, Dad, you have to do it and then the flames
will
show up.
Actually press the buttons at the right time, which is kind of the point of the game.
Yeah, he did not take that well. No.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys want to talk about some news this week? Some video game news?
Of course.
Let us know what they are.
Let's get into it. So, there's a little game. It's called PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, or otherwise known as PUBG. have you guys heard of H1Z1 as well?
I don't know much about it, though.
Sounds like that terrible flu.
It was basically PUBG before PUBG became PUBG.
Oh.
And I guess H1Z1's player base has declined 91% since PUBG and Fortnite took over.
Oh,
so
that ain't good.
That that's kind of crazy. That because that game was like the battle royale game before these games, and it's just weird how they kind of came out of nowhere and just took the market.
So it's just because they're similar.
They're very similar.
So people are like, ooh. Do this one instead? Like, that's what happened?
Fortnite is free.
Oh, okay.
So, it's very different. It's more of, like, it has, like, it's kind of more like an arena shooter, while PUBG is more of, like, it's almost like a simulator. Like, a survival simulator. It's kind of, it's crazy to me how they just came out of nowhere and just completely stole the market. That's crazy. What do you think? What do you think, Noah? Did you foresee that?
I mean, honestly, man, I don't really get the hype behind these arena games. Like, they just really anger me. Like, I've played PUBG a couple times, and I've played Fortnite quite a bit, actually. And I don't understand why any audience would be loyal to any one of those games. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think there's any mechanics in them that specifically would tie you in or hold your loyalty to those games.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a passive. kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, I think it'd be easy for any players of any of those games to just jump into a different one. Mm-hmm. And, like, H1Z1, like, oh, there's zombies in this one? Cool.
What else is there, right?
What else is there? Exactly.
Well, that kind of spawned from the whole DayZ mod back in the day. Did you ever play DayZ?
No.
No? Do you know what DayZ is?
What is that?
Like...
What is it?
DayZ. So there was this game, and it was a really realistic like military simulator called Arma 3 or Arma 2, and someone made a mod where you could basically, there were zombies all around. It was called DayZ. There were zombies all around, and you would just be in this huge open world, and all the buildings you can go into and find loot and stuff. And it was really realistic because it was like built on top of this game that was a simulator, right?
So, yeah.
But you could run into other people in the world too. And if you ran into them, it was like this huge event. Like it was like this big thing because if you ran into somebody, they could either kill you and you'd have to start all over, or you could work together and you'd have to trust them. Mm-hmm. But it was like you have to make this quick decision whether you trust them or kill them and just try and steal their stuff. But you risk losing everything. And these games like H1Z1 were kind of a response to that. Like they tried to emulate that in their own like core game instead of somebody having to get Arma 2 and then get this mod and get all these things on top of it. But and then I guess that's kind of how PUBG kind of came about. Sorry, Maddie, what did you want to say something?
Yes. All like in the news right now, we're talking about video game news. Did you guys hear about what Donald Trump said about?
Well, oh yeah, the violence in video games.
He's blaming video games again for all the.
Is that a thing?
Well, he said it, and it's just like, okay, we've been having this discussion for how many forever, people? Forever, like,
since,
my mom says it too, like, oh, they're so violent, those video games. Mm. Like, nothing good can come out of them, and I'm just like, video games don't breed killers. Like, just let's get over that discussion right now.
I actually wrote a paper in university about that. So I read like a bunch of different sources and put a bunch of different studies on it. And it actually seems like there is more evidence towards that they reduce violence in youth because they're almost like an outlet.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So somebody who doesn't have to like react, like they don't have to, what's the word? They don't have to be violent in real life because they can be violent in the video game. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
It's an outlet. They can really sell their anger and stuff.
And if that was true, we'd see more people who are like killers or something. People who are video gamers. Mm-hmm. I mean, we haven't seen that. So,
not the white supremacy at all. No, it's video games. Like, let's just end that right now. I just hate when people go there. Like, instead of looking at other possible issues, that's just such an easy way out. Because he wants to like regulate movies and video games.
The thing
now
is,
what is this?
You know what he said? He said we should have some sort of rating system for video games and movies.
Oh, we don't have that already.
Yeah. He literally said we should have something that we already have.
Oh. Yeah. Dude, we could call it ESRB.
Exactly.
There's going to be a Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
And a Mario movie.
Oh, whoa. Yeah.
The Mario movie is being made by Illumination, people who made Despicable Me and Minions.
That's gonna be interesting then.
And
is that live action?
No, it's animated.
Fully CG.
It's animated. What do you guys think of that? Do you think? I don't think it's gonna translate well.
I haven't really seen a movie with like based off of video games. Like I've never really like there was like that Wreck-It Ralph thing before too.
So
that was a good movie though.
Yeah.
There are. Traditionally, movies that are based on video games have been flops. Mm-hmm. Everything, like I can't name one that's been good, except for like original properties like Wreck-It Ralph, because that's an original property. Yeah. The thing is with video games, the stories that they build for you are ones that you are meant to become the protagonist almost. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like an empty shell where you can, place yourself on the protagonist. So it's
kind of self-insertion.
It's really hard for movies like to adapt that into a movie because they kind of have to create a brand new character that might not end up feeling like the character. Like Mario, he says like 10 words. So how are they going to make
Mario?
How are they going to make a movie where he's like full dialogue and it doesn't seem weird.
Yeah, I'm trying to imagine what the plot would be. Like, I don't know.
Let's go to rescue Peach. Again. Like, oh, yeah.
I could maybe see a Sonic movie, but with the Sonic storytelling lately, it's kind of been
apparently the director of Deadpool signed on to be the executive director of the Sonic movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to get like a an R-rated Sonic movie?
I don't know, man. There's a Sonic cartoon. Has anybody seen anything about that?
Yeah.
And it's like, I
like which one? The one on like the one now or the one from like when we were kids?
No. It's definitely more recent.
Like, is it Sonic Boom?
Maybe
there was a
yeah.
game that came out and then they released a TV show with that. And
I think it is Sonic Boom. It's very like it's for kids, but the jokes seem like they're for adults.
Mm.
You know,
there's a lot of meta humor I've heard.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I saw some stuff about it online and I checked it out on YouTube. Watched like 10 minutes of like a mashup or something of it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the jokes were like really good. And the storylines were funny and cute and stuff like that. But a real Sonic movie, man, I don't know. Like you say, if any indicator of it is going to be like past video game movies, you know, Michael Fassbender will play Sonic. And he'll be a brooding crap machine. I'm not excited.
Yeah,
I
think
actually.
I think that the Sonic movie could work better than the Mario movie. Like, Mario is arguably more well known.
Is Nintendo going to be on board with that?
Oh yeah.
Oh, they are. They already signed off on it.
No, but like the studio actually going
to
be in production with them? Like, are they working with them on it, or is
it
just like we'll sign you over the rights?
I'm
can
pretty
use
sure
you want.
They're gonna have like they have been so reluctant to let their properties onto like any other platform. Mm-hmm. So like only within like the last few years we've seen them kind of open up, like with Super Mario Run being on the App Store with Apple and stuff.
Right.
Like there has never been a mobile game. Like a Nintendo mobile game that's been approved by Nintendo, and only recently they've kind of opened up with that kind of stuff and reaching out to other platforms, and now they've let their mascot, they're handing the rights over to that to a movie studio to, so I don't know, it's a very different Nintendo than the last decade.
Even if Nintendo does. Like, if they do have a lot to do with the production stuff and they are there, like, supervising, there's no guarantee that that's going to make it better. Like,
they're not a movie studio.
No, exactly. Like, Stephanie Myers was involved in the Twilight movies. And did you see those movies?
Yeah.
Like, they were not good. Neither were the books. But anyways. And about the Mario, I feel, but the Mario movie, like, little kids will eat that up. Like, little kids are so.
Did they eat up
parents,
the first one?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, the first game, but there's a lot of. Have you guys seen the original Super Mario Bros. Movie that came out in like 1995? I think.
No, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
that was
either.
A thing.
I tried to watch like 10 minutes.
Don't
ago.
Watch
no.
it. It's really
utter trash.
It's kind of scary, actually. It's very like it's very weird because it's live action.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
oh no.
It's like really, really weird.
That's
And there was a I can't remember the story, but there was a lot of like troubles in development for that movie.
There were clearly
like,
troubles.
Like the directors didn't really like, it was a couple that directed it.
Oh, okay.
And they didn't.
That's a recipe for success.
Yeah.
Right there.
Apparently, like it was apparently a nightmare for the actors to work and stuff. And it's notorious. It's a notorious.
It was real humans playing.
Yeah.
Mario.
Yeah, look up a picture and it's really weird.
Sounds so creepy.
I remember I used to play on like YTV sometimes when I was a kid.
Okay. What's it called?
Just Super Mario Bros. The movie.
I feel like Nintendo, in order to agree to make a film like that, the pitch must have been really good.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because especially with the disaster of the first movie. And they're so, like Jackson was saying, they're so careful about what they do with their content. And Reggie's like the guy that's all about fun, right? So
it's all about the game.
Exactly. So I'm thinking like if they're going to be in the process of making that movie with the studio, I have a little bit of higher hopes just because they've seen how it can go wrong in the first place.
Yeah, I'm looking at these pictures and it's nightmarish.
Though,
oh my God.
Like,
the original Mario movie?
Yeah.
The only thing that's like making me nervous is that it's Illumination Entertainment.
What's that?
So they made Despicable Me, and that is
probably
the only good movie that I think they've made. They've made Minions, the movie.
Yeah.
They made the movie Sing, which is not good, apparently. The Secret Life of Pets, which apparently was just a ripoff of Toy Story with dogs. They made Hop. I don't know what that is.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know. They're just notorious for kind of like, they've pumped out all like the Despicable Me movies. They've just put out like three more. I don't know.
It just seems like
they're just a cash. Like they put out crap for kids because they know kids will eat it up.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just roll in the money, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just kind of worried that I don't think that they should trust Illumination with Mario.
It can't hurt them though.
To appeal, yeah.
Like it can't hurt them to make a crap product. Mm-hmm. As far as the movie goes, it's never damaged a game studio before to make a shitty movie about their game.
Yeah.
You know, like the Mario movie had nothing to do with the actual Nintendo franchise. And then the Assassin's Creed movie hasn't damaged the fan base at all. Like all people want to see is a good movie of mm-hmm. it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so fans get really excited. And then the movie releases. And then, you know, the people who do see it, I don't even know how many people saw the Assassin's Creed movie. But, you know. You watch it and you're like, well, they didn't do it. So back to playing the games for my fix.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's a lot of upcoming video game movies that are like, they could be okay.
It's always a tricky situation when you're translating a video mm-hmm. game into a movie, for
Absolutely.
Sure.
Like, I mean, there hasn't really been a good track record. Mm-hmm. Like Tomb Raider, Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Hey, hold on.
I love the first one.
Resident Evil franchise is sick.
No, man.
What do you mean no?
It's not good.
Don't talk shit on Resident Evil, dude. Resident Evil movies, Mila Jovovich.
I love
What's
her,
wrong
though.
With those movies?
They're not good.
There's nothing wrong with
the
those
first
movies.
One is unreal.
Yeah, the first one.
I watched that with my cousins. I'm shouting out to them again, but like all the time.
Shouts out Maddie's cousins.
Yeah. Laurel and Robin, what's up? Yeah, we'd watch it in their basement on like their giant TV. Like back then it was giant. It was like a 50 inch. And yeah, it was awesome. I loved that movie.
Those movies know exactly what they are. That's why I like them. That's why I think that they are the
They're
things
nothing
that they
like
are.
The games.
Who cares?
It's a movie. It's a movie.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a movie.
That's the point, right? Like, to make a good video game movie, you have to make an original story.
So,
you can't ham-fist the video story onto a screen.
That's why it's always a rough road to translating a video game to a movie, because it's totally two different platforms.
But then where do you cross the line where it's like, this shouldn't even be a video game movie. This should just be an original film.
The opposite always happens, though. Like, movies will get made into video games. Like, that always seems to happen. And
true.
Yeah. Like, there's a SpongeBob
Shout
game
out Shrek
and,
games.
Oh, God.
There's
like
a SpongeBob game for GameCube that was sick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm
Battle
sure
for Bikini Bottom.
That's the one.
That one was...
Yeah, so like it's funny how the opposite will work, but the
right.
making video games into movies seems to be the tricky part.
But yeah, we had a Warcraft movie recently, which apparently was like bad but not terrible. Remember there was like an Angry Birds movie that I heard was terrible.
Oh yeah, I saw the ads.
Did you watch
those? No. I was like no. I was like, I saw the trailers. I was like, not my kind
not
of thing.
Not gonna happen.
No, we're getting a. There's a new game that's coming out called Detective Pikachu. Have you heard about that?
No.
Wait, is that the game? Because there's a movie.
There's a game
too,
and there's
right?
a movie coming
what?
Out.
Right.
At the same time.
So basically, there's a Pikachu in the Pokemon world who can talk, and he has like a deep voice, and he's like a detective, and
Alec Baldwin, anyone?
No, I want Danny DeVito.
Oh what? My God.
He's
no.
not deep voice.
Well, I mean, like I think his voice fits perfectly with like. This character.
Unless it's
there was a big.
Pika? I don't want to hear
it. I know. Same.
No, it's like a deep. Like I'm a detective. That's me. And it's really funny. It's supposed to be funny, but.
I don't like that.
Gotta
at all.
Wait until see a trailer for this.
Yeah, we're getting that. We're getting the Witcher franchise. That's I can't remember if that's gonna be a movie or if it's gonna be on Netflix.
Dude, I'd love for them to try and make The Witcher on Netflix.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That'd be sick. Who would play Geraldo?
I don't know.
Who could do it?
Upcoming, I think it's in a few months, we're getting a Tomb Raider movie, a new Tomb Raider reboot that's based off the latest video games, the more gritty video games.
Who's
I'm down with
that.
Oh, what's her name? She was in Ex
Machina.
Oh,
Alicia Vikander.
Yes.
So yeah,
not
she was
Angelina
the,
Jolie.
No.
She was
no.
the
no.
robot in Ex
Machina.
Machina. Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. She's very
fantastic,
pretty.
Right? Great actress.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That one looks promising to me too. So I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. It's just hard
mm-hmm.
when you have a property that's already so established and you have to get it right. It's kind of like a book.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
But books are like, they've never been presented in a visual format, so it's kind of like, you have a lot more leeway, I guess, to
never been able to look at books before.
Well, you know what I mean. Anyway, I think that's all the time we have today.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, guys.
Thank you.
We'll see you.
We'll see you in the next episode.